Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. I'm very, very excited about today. We are kicking off 3 weeks talking about one of my favorite aspects of our church, which is our Love and Be initiative. Now, if you've been around our church for a while, you've probably heard of Love and Be. You may have a t-shirt that says Love and Be on it. You may, if you're newer to our church, you may have a mask that says Love and Be on it. You may have served, you may have participated, but you may not know exactly what Love and Be is. And so what I really want to do today is I want to help you understand what Love and Be is and why it matters. And my hope is that you can move from maybe having a little knowledge of it, but I want to move your heart hopefully to become passionate about it. And maybe even become a little proud to be a part of a church that puts this initiative front and center. Now, I know using the word proud on stage, especially as a pastor, has a lot of connotations, right? We're not supposed to be proud. We're not supposed to have pride. Well, I'm going to today. I'm going to be proud, and not only am I going to be proud, I'm going to brag. I'm going to brag today. And you may wonder, how can you brag? Well, because I'm not going to brag about myself. And I'm not proud of anything I've done. What I'm proud of today, what I'm going to brag on today is God. And specifically, the things and the good works God has accomplished through you. I just feel like, especially right now, we're in the middle of COVID. I don't really know anymore. Are we at the end? Is this the beginning? I don't know. Feels like forever. Just really felt like God laid on my heart that our church needed to spend a few weeks just celebrating how good he is. And just celebrating, even in this season, how effective he has continued to be to leverage what he's given us to make the world better. And so that's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. And so if it sounds like I'm bragging, I am. But I'm bragging on God, and I'm bragging on you, and I'm bragging on all the good things that he's been able to accomplish. And again, my hope is that we all leave here a little more informed, a little more encouraged, a little more inspired that Love and Be really does matter. And if you're a guest today, if this is your very first time, if you're checking us out online, man, you picked a great Sunday to check in. I hope you'll stay with us all 3 weeks, because I don't know that there's anything that more reveals who Wellspring is than when we talk about Love and Be. So let me go ahead and dive right in and just kind of answer some questions, okay? Number one, the question is, so what is Love and Be? When we say Love and Be, when we have the t-shirts, when we talk about it, what do we mean? What is Love and Be? And this is the answer. Love and Be is Wellspring's initiative to resource nonprofits in our community that are making Horry County a better place. Now that's what that means. It is our arm that extends out of these walls, that extends into our community, and does whatever we can to help the organizations in our community that are making the world a better place. Now, put a little simpler, this is what Love and Be is. Love and Be is Wellspring's attempt at changing the world. We talk a lot about how we want to change the world, and you say you want to change the world, and we want to be world changers. This is how we do it. This is how we are attempting to change the world. Now, I mean, we gather in here every week. This is an attempt to change the world, because as people hear about Jesus and they give their lives to Jesus and they become Christ followers, their worlds are changed. But we equally want to take the message of Jesus outside of these walls, into our community. And so what we do is we find great organizations that are already at work in our community carrying out Jesus's values in our community, helping people that are disadvantaged, helping people that are struggling. We work with organizations that are desperately trying to end the cycle of homelessness in our community. We work with organizations that are helping families step out of poverty and into more financial stability. We work with organizations that work with special needs families, helping to equip them to educate their children. We work with schools that are educating all our children, because education is so key for the future. We work with organizations that are feeding people that don't have the food they need. We work with organizations that are providing safety nets and places for women and children who are in crisis. We work with organizations that come alongside our adoption and foster care system in this state and provide the resources and the help so that children can find safe loving homes. We work with all these organizations because they are doing the work that God would want done in our community, and they are doing it better than we could do it. We are really good at gathering people in a room and singing some songs and talking and doing small groups and all that. We would be really bad at trying to end homelessness ourselves. And so what we learned a long time ago was to partner with other organizations that are already doing a great job. And so what we do is we search through our community, we find these organizations, we vet these organizations, we make sure that they really are who they say they are, we check them out, we kick the tires, and once we decide that they are well-run and they are making a big difference, we go to them and ask a very simple yet mind-blowing question to them. Here's what we ask. We go to them and say, hey, how can we help? And it usually takes about 5 minutes for them to answer. Because they've never heard that question. What they normally hear is, hi, we're such and such organization. Here's what we'd like to do for you. Here's what we think you need. And so when we say, hey, how can we help? They're waiting for, okay, what do you really want? And we're like, no, we really mean it. You're the experts. You're solving this problem. How can we help you solve this problem? And they ask, but wait, what? What's in it for you? And we're like, absolutely nothing is in it for us. You're doing a good thing, and we want to help you because we believe our God wants to help you because we believe our God wants to improve communities. So how can we help? Again, we usually have to ask like 10 times. And then they finally are like, are you serious? Like, you just want to know what we need, and you want to help us. And we're like, absolutely. And they go, okay, here's what we need. Money and volunteers. You know why? Because every nonprofit on the planet needs money and volunteers. That's what they need. And they say that to us. They say, really? We need money and we need volunteers. And we're like, okay. So when you ask us again the question, what is Love MB? There's three components. The first component of the Love MB is give. We give. We take an offering every year that we use to fund our Love and Be initiatives, either through projects or through giving directly to organizations that need money. In 2 weeks, we're going to take that offering this year to set up what we're going to do in 2021. We literally give money away to these organizations, and it is because of your generosity that we're able to do that. But not only do we give, Love and Be is also, we serve. We serve through Love Weekends. We serve through Love Weeks. Some of our community groups even go serve with some of our partners when we're not doing Love Weekends. We've even had people in our community, people in our church, actually begin doing like long-term volunteering and service with some of our partners, simply just because they got passionate about what they were doing and they liked it and they wanted to be a part of it. And so what we believe is as we hear from these organizations, and they need money and volunteers, so as we give and as we serve, what we believe we are doing is we are effectively loving our community. We're doing whatever it takes to help them feel the love of God by making it easier for these great organizations that are already improving the lives of people in our community. We are making it easier for them to function. We are resourcing them to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. That's what Love and Be is. That's why we think it's important, and that's what we do. And so we've never done this before. We've never actually taken 3 weeks to talk about Love and Be and to celebrate it. So what I wanted to do today is I kind of wanted to step back and give you an overall picture of the total effect Love and Be has had since we've started. Okay, because I want you to understand what you're a part of. I want you to understand what this organization has done. If you're a guest today, if you're watching online, I want you to understand what you're stepping into and what I hope you will choose to become a part of. Because you are making an incredible difference in our community. So I want to give you some lifetime stats of Love and Be. This is kind of over the last decade of when we've been doing this. We actually called the offering something different when we first started it. We kind of didn't figure Love and Be out until like 2 years in. But we kind of rolled all that together because we've always served our community. And so lifetime, how much has our church taken up to serve our community? Here's the answer. Over $280,000 has been given simply to give back, simply to serve our community. In addition to that, we have served over 5,400 hours. Now, I'm a nerd, so I did the math. At 12 hours a day, that's a year and 3 months worth of service in our community. that our church has given back. And because of that, we've been able, conservatively, to impact over 5,600 families. 5,600 families. So probably closer to 15,000 to 20,000 people. And to be clear about this, these are all people outside our walls. This doesn't even include how we've been able to help the families in this church and serve and provide. That is purely the families we've been able to impact outside of the building. Over 5,600 families, probably 15,000 to 20,000 people have been impacted by your obedience, by your sacrifice, and by your generosity. Families have had enough food. They found shelter. They've been educated. They found help. And they have found hope because of love and be. So again, what is love and be? It's simple. It's Wellspring's attempt at changing the world. Because it's through love and be that we are able to bring the message and the hope and the love of Jesus to a community of people who may never set foot in our building. They may never come to church here, but they will feel the love of Jesus and their lives will be made better because of what you have done and will continue to do as we continue to love and be together. So that's what love and be is. The next question is why, right? Why love and be? Why is this so important? Why is this a thing we talk about as a church? Why do we hand out the masks? Why is it such a big deal? And for us, it really comes down to two things. It comes down to a command and a choice, specifically a command from Jesus and a choice to follow it. Because Jesus commands us to do this. And he does this in one of the most famous accounts of Jesus' life. We actually talked about it like 2 or 3 weeks ago. But we're going to talk about it again today because it's so incredibly important. On the last night, he had dinner with his disciples before he was going to go be arrested. And the next morning, he was going to be convicted. And he was going to be crucified. And then Sunday morning, he was going to come back to life. Before that, he has dinner with his disciples. We call it the Last Supper. And he gives them final instructions. He gives them marching orders. We talked a couple weeks ago about how he prayed for them to be unified. And what he prayed for them to be unified around is the command we're going to talk about today. It is the game changer. It is the command that set Jesus' disciples apart, and it is the command that changed the world. And so on that last night, he calls them all together, and he says these words. He says, so now I'm giving you a new command. Love each other. Love each other was not a new command. They had heard this over and over and over, but he adds something new when he says, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. See, they had been loving in their own capacity. They had been loving as they could love. They had been loving as they had received love. And Jesus says, no more. I am now the standard. You are called to love the world, Jesus would say, as I have loved you. Completely sacrificial. Never expecting anything in return. Always doing what is best for the other person. That's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus modeled. And he said, hey, guys, I promise you, if you want to get this right, if you want to take my message, if you want people to believe you, this has to be the hallmark of who you are. Love other people as I have loved you. And then he tells us why. Because your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Now again, this was a man who could perform miracles. This is a man who could walk on water. This is the man who could have given his disciples the capacity to walk on water. In fact, he did. He gave Peter the ability to walk on water at one point. He could have said, hey guys, that walk on water thing, that's going to be pretty convincing. So I want you to hold church services, fill a bucket with water, fill something with water, walk on it, and say, who wants in? And people would join by the droves. You know, he could have said, your miracles are going to be what convince the world that you're my disciples. He could have said, it is going to be your overwhelmingly convincing speeches. Jesus was an eloquent speaker. Some of his followers were eloquent speakers, and they gave these eloquent speeches. And he could have said, study really hard and make sure you have great comebacks and make sure you become really good at arguing and debating so that you can, through logic and reason, encourage the world to believe what we believe. He could have said that, but he didn't. He said it was going to be our love. He said it was going to be the way we treat other people, the way we work for the benefit of other people, the way we even are willing to sacrifice our own good for the good of others. He says, guys, that's what I did for you, and that's what I'm asking you to do, because that is going to be what convinces the world that I am who I say I am. Love for everyone. So again, why love and be for us? Well, it's a command. And so we made a choice. And it's a choice we made when we started the church. From the very beginning, we had prayed, and we felt like that God had given us some core beliefs, some core values, some core things that we knew were going to set us apart, and we thought were going to make Wellspring, Wellspring. Like, what's going to make us different? What's our differentiator? What's going to set us apart in our community? What's going to drive people? What are we going to unite around? And one of the core values we landed on at the very beginning was this one, that we will be known for what we are for. Now, part of this is my baggage of growing up in church. I have been in church my entire life, so I've been around church my entire life. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, churches get known for what they're against. I'm against this. I'm against that. I'm against that movie. I'm against that group. I'm against that party. I'm against that shop. What I'm against. And again, that's just not the Jesus I see. It's not what he told his disciples was going to make the difference. He didn't say, go out and tell everybody everything they're doing wrong. He said, go love people. In fact, your love for other people is what's going to prove to them and to the world that I really am who I say I am. And so we decided from the very beginning that as a church, we wanted to be known for what we are for. And we are unequivocally for Myrtle Beach. We are for Horry County. We believe God sent us here to bring Jesus to this place, to be one of the many great churches in our community trying to love people. And we said, for us, we want to make a mark. We want our community to know that we are for them. Even if they don't believe what we believe, even if they're not a part of our group, we want them to know they can count on us. That when there's a problem, Wellspring will step up. We will be there because God will always be there. That's what it means to be known for what we are for. And it means as a team, we ask a question. And I want you to know we ask this question because you've asked it from the very beginning. And it's a question that drives everything we do with Love and Be. And the question is this. If Wellspring disappeared tomorrow, would our community miss us? Now, I didn't say our church. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you online. I'm not talking to people that call Wellspring home. Of course you would miss us, I hope. I'm talking about the people that have never set foot in our doors. I'm talking about the people who maybe don't even know what we believe. Would Myrtle Beach, would Horry County miss Wellspring Church if tomorrow we were gone? And to answer that question, I want to remind you of our lifetime Love and Be. Would they miss the $280,000 poured into this community? I believe so. Would they miss the 5,400 hours poured in this community? I believe so. Would the 5,600 families, 15,000 to 20,000 people whose lives have been directly impacted by your obedience and sacrifice and giving and generosity miss this church? Yes, I believe so. And the reason I'm talking about this so much right now is because as we are in COVID, I don't think I'm the only person, and I know I'm not because I've had multiple conversations, who the monotony, the uncertainty, the limitations has started to play with our thinking, started to play with my mind, maybe started to play with your mind. I'm finding myself more anxious than usual. I don't know why. I've even found myself sometimes more depressed than usual, and I don't know why. There is a sense of uselessness. You know, when you are a pastor and what you do for a living is get on the stage and talk to people live three times a week, and for 6 months you can't do that, you start to wonder, okay, what am I doing? What is my worth here? What is my value? What am I bringing to the table? See, I think we can all wrestle with that as this external event has just kind of depleted us of our energy. And we can all look around thinking, man, am I really even making a difference right now? Am I really even doing anything? Is my church making a difference? And the reason we're talking about this so much is because absolutely you are. And absolutely we are. Over the last 12 months, even amidst a global pandemic, I want you to see what God's been able to do through you, even over the last 12 months. You still gave $50,000 for us to love our community. You know what that enabled us to do? I can't remember when this was. This was either like in April, I think, or May. I can't remember. But there was one of our local partners, a local organization, was short on money, and they feed about 200 to 400 families a week. And they were running out of food, and they were running out of money because some people run out of jobs. Do you know what your generosity enabled us to do in your name? We were able to give that organization $10,000 in the midst of a global pandemic. We just gave them a check. We were able to do that. Because of you. That's the difference you're making in our community. We were still able to serve over 308 hours in our community. I guess it was masked and distance. I don't really understand it. But we were able to do it. And conservatively, we know even in the last year, we've been able to directly impact over 1,000 families. Not within our building. Completely outside our walls. Because of what God is doing in you and through you as we attempt to love Myrtle Beach together. And again, I know it sounds like I'm bragging, because I am. I'm bragging on God, and I'm bragging on you. And the way I know I'm not bragging on me is because none of this has ever happened when it was just me. Some of you know the story. Danielle and I moved here in summer of 2008 to start Wellspring Church. We knew one person that lived in Myrtle Beach. Shortly thereafter, Beth and TJ Goff moved here with their kids, so we knew two more people. And then Beth's parents moved here, so we knew two more people. And the first Bible study we had in my house to launch Wellspring Church, everybody in that room was people we know. It was just that little group of people. Then God started doing something as we began to serve. See, what we did is we had a Bible study every other week in my house. Every other week in my house started with that little group, and it began to grow. And it began to grow because one week in a month we would visit other churches in the area because we wanted to see what God was up to so we could better clearly understand our unique calling in this community. And then the last weekend of the month, we would serve. We would go partner with other organizations that were already doing community service events, and we'd just show up and say, hey, how can we help? And at first, it was just our little group. But something amazing happened. Every time we'd go serve, we'd have conversations with the other people that are serving. The other civic groups were there. And they'd be like, why are you here? And say, we're starting a church. Well, where does it meet? In my house. Well, that sounds creepy. And let me know when you start real services. That's horrifying. But eventually, people began to latch on. And that was literally those monthly service opportunities where other people joined us, and then they began to join our group and began to join our team, and that was how we were able to launch Wellspring Church, through service. It was a heart God gave me, but it's never moved anywhere without you. It's never moved anywhere without other people jumping on board. Trust me, I'm well aware of what I'm capable of, and it's not much. But a group of people who are committed to what God wants to do through his church, well, they can change the world. And so that's why I'm so excited about this, and that's why I hope you become passionate about this, because you are making a difference. And again, here's why this matters, and then we're done. Here's why this matters. As Christ followers, as Christians, if you consider yourself a Christian, there's a very basic core belief of Christianity, and it's this. Our belief is that our beliefs change us. Belief. It's not about performance. It's not about being good or bad. We can't earn salvation. It's simply by faith. It's belief. It's believing Jesus is who he says he is. It's believing he did what he said he's done. It's putting our faith in him. That's what changes us. In no way can we perform our way to heaven. In no way can we earn salvation. It is 100% a gift, and all we have to do is believe it. Okay, so that's incredibly important. Our beliefs change us as Christians. But what Jesus made clear through his commandment is that there is a next step. While our beliefs change us, it's our behaviors that will change the world. It is the way we live out those beliefs. It is the way we bring his love into a world that desperately needs it. Because our behaviors in his name will make people more open to the beliefs that drive our behaviors. And we always want to flip it. We always want to put the beliefs first. You have to believe what I believe. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. You believe what you believe. If you want them to believe in me, you have to behave like me. That's why you believe in me, is what he would say to the disciples. You believe in me because I behave like I behave. If I mistreated you, if I was unkind to you, you wouldn't follow me. And so Jesus is simply saying, hey, for the rest of the time, you believe in me because you've experienced my love. You want them to believe in me? Let them experience my love through you. So real quick, what is love in B? It's like we've been saying, love in B is Wellspring's attempt at changing the world. Because it is the way by which we can bring the love of Jesus to a community that desperately needs it. And you are doing that, and you are playing an amazing role, and I'm so privileged to be your pastor. Next week, we're going to talk about our next Love Weekend, and as I said, in 2 weeks, we are going to take the offering that is going to propel Love in Me for 2021. And then as we do that, we thought it'd be really, really cool and also really important for you to see past this initiative to the people behind it. We wanted you to get a glimpse of some of our partners. And over the next few weeks, you're going to hear a story from our partners. You're actually going to hear a story from some of the people whose lives have been impacted by your serving and by your giving. But today, we wanted to just highlight one of our oldest partners. Because the more you believe in our partners, the more you're going to believe in Love in B. And so the partner we're highlighting today is Habitat for Humanity. We have been working with them for years as they work to improve the lives of people here in Myrtle Beach. And so as you not only are encouraged today by what God has done, but by what God has done through you, and as we all begin to dream together about what God might do through us in 2021, I want you to be encouraged at the caliber of our partners, at the work they're doing, and how our giving and our serving is making it easier for people in Myrtle Beach to feel the love of Jesus, which is the entire point. Check it out.
My name is Carla Schuessler. I am the former executive director for Habitat for Humanity of Horry County.
My name is Jason Green. I am the current executive director for Habitat for Humanity.
We work with families, hardworking families from our community that, if given a hand up, they can really grow their future and benefit from that. And so it's about family. It's about growth. It's a home ownership program. But more than that, it's an education program and it's a life change program. One of the best things, I think, in the time that I was there was the partnership that we grew with Wellspring Church. And some of our families go to church here now. We have kids that are part of the youth group. And I think it's really special because Wellspring really wanted to be involved and really saw the importance of what Habitat does. And so they're very open to, you know, whatever we can do and let's figure out ways, you know, to partner. So the Love Weekend that Wellspring does has been huge for us. And they've had volunteers out building on the build site, but it goes beyond that. And you've hosted our Christmas party where we've been able to bring our volunteers and our families together and families that have been in their homes for years and bring them together and in fellowship. So our families are working towards bettering their credit, paying off debt, and saving for their closing costs. And so by Wellspring kind of sponsoring the families at Christmas time, it allows them to has allowed them to keep on that path and working towards their goal, but also to be able to enjoy Christmas. It's been a great partnership for us, certainly. Yeah.
If you look at the families we serve, we're empowering them to change their own lives. If you look at the neighborhoods we're eventually going to serve through neighborhood revitalization, we're going to be empowering the champions of those neighborhoods, the residents, to change the path of their neighborhood.
I think for me to see the change in the children, I mean, always, of course, the adults and see how they're changing the life for their family and their future, but to just see hope in the kids' eyes, to see that they matter, to see that confidence and what you were saying, just that self-empowerment that it gives, that they know someone cares about them, that they feel like they belong. I think for me, I also go to Wellspring, so I'm a little partial, but to see the families coming to church here and being a part of our family here and feeling welcome and know that they're a part of it has been huge.
I kind of been joking with the staff that, you know, we all get out of bed every morning to say, we're going to do something good for somebody today. And I kind of say it kind of jokingly, but it's actually very serious observation that I've made, I guess, from the staff, because I can't imagine having a better team that I've inherited from Carla to do the work that we do every day. I mean, it's really phenomenal. The heart that everyone has in what we do, the passion that they have for the serving our community is just really remarkable. And it's such a wonderful place to be. So we have quite a few things that we're getting ready to do. Still preserving our very core mission of building safe and affordable homes for the deserving families in our community. We're not happy with just building 7 or 8 homes a year. We want to double that in the next 5 years. And we want to start working with neighborhoods on creating paths to self-sustainability for the blighted neighborhoods that we do have in our county. And then we also, I mean, I think fundamentally, we see that there's a sustainability piece that we can add by adding a second restore that we have. We have a retail store where we sell furniture and housewares and those sorts of things. And which are all donated, and every bit of the funding funds our operations. So we see that as part of our growth strategy, sustaining that with a second store is going to be part of that. There's pieces of the homeowner relationship that we have once they become homeowners that we want to expand and provide additional opportunities to empower our families, whether that's helping their kids learn how to read or do better in school or finding upskilling opportunities for the families to get better jobs and those sorts of things, working with state agencies and other nonprofits to do that. I think that's part of where I see this going relative to the empowerment. And that also kind of also transcends to volunteers. We see volunteers as our lifeblood. They've always been our lifeblood as an organization like this. And we see that the volunteer experience needs to be brought to a level where it's not just coming out to build a home. It's the entire experience about volunteers and wanting to come back time and time again to get involved with what we do. Depending on your own skill set, I mean, there's a place for you within Habitat's family. So if you're really interested in helping coach and mentor folks, there's an opportunity to mentor the families through the Family Services Program while they're learning their financial literacy, while they're going through their educational process to be good stewards of their own financial future. I think the other part of it that's probably more well known is actually picking up a hammer and start working on a home. I think that's probably the most recognizable piece of Habitat that people at least first think of when they think of Habitat for Humanity. But even working in our retail store, helping sort things and helping customers and helping load trucks and unload trucks, and that's also a very important part of our mission. The restore operation is a great funding tool for our operation. So the donations we receive and the wares that we sell fund a large part of what we do. I mean, even beyond the core functions, the volunteerism can extend into the future into helping neighborhoods with planting and pruning and painting when we start to launch neighborhood revitalization, and then helping still guide those stakeholders within the neighborhoods to really do well and learn kind of the civic duty that they may have for their own neighborhood to kind of guide it in the direction they want to go.
So Habitat being a part of Wellspring's Love MB has been huge for Habitat over the years. I've literally seen firsthand what the love has been able to do and accomplish. And you know, we've had a family that started in New Directions, which Wellspring has loved New Directions as part of the Love MB. And our interaction with them allowed us to meet this family, who then was able to go in and enter into our program. And Wellspring was actually able to provide a home for this family, and they are now homeowners. And their son just actually went away off to college and got a scholarship. So their oldest son, and there's 3 more after that. So I think just that love piece, it really does change, and it really can change the world, and it changes the path of that family's future forever. And together we've been able to do a lot of that. And so Love and Be has been huge.